Okay, let's learn. We've been talking about the matzav b'chlal, to sell b'frat, and to try to understand this tkufa, this period, through the eyes of Chazal and the Svarim HaKadoshim. And tonight, I want to talk about peace, about shalom. There has never been peace in the world. B'chlal not. We'll talk about that to understand what is the Torah's definition of peace and how different it is from the way it's understood in the world and what we have to daven for. The inyan is not easy, and I'm not quite sure yet how to give it over. So in your schus, I hope there'll be something out of the Shmai. I'm not sure what's going to be with this. The dream of every single Jew since we became a people was v'nasati shalom baruch, that there should be peace in Eretz Yisrael in the entire world. We finished davening with the shalom. We finished benching. We finished shas. Shalom is everything. Without going through the thousands of chazals and psukim, we all know that. It's the pnimius, it's the tachlis, it's the hope, it's the objective of all things. But the truth is that most people, most of us, have no idea at all what the meaning is of the word shalom, of peace, what it means, al pi Torah. We don't know what it is, b'chlal. We've grown up with the definition that the Ummah Islam have, that the nations of the world have for shalom, for peace, is b'chlal lekarav zeh lazeh. There's very little to do with what we understand as being shalom, as we understand as peace. And the whole world's talking about it. The whole world's talking about shalom, about peace. It's pashut that what one person is longing for and considers to be the tachlis of shalom, for another person, it's b'chlal not even right to call. It doesn't even make sense. It's almost absurd to call it shalom. And for that person who has a more exalted vision of what shalom is, all of the chatter about shalom, as it's understood by the world, is mamish silly. It's immature. It's silly. It's narishkeit. There are madregas. That's what I want to talk about. There are different levels. There are madregas. There are different levels in how we understand shalom. From the most basic shalom, which is hard to achieve also. There should be shalom in a person's house, that people should get along with each other. Husbands and wives, friends, parents and children, brothers and sisters, yidden. That there should be poshut shalom. I mean, they shouldn't be fighting over whether it's, how come it's gefilt fish, you didn't have schmaltz, I like vanilla, you like chocolate. On the most basic level, that there shouldn't be disagreements, there should be shalom. So from that most basic level of shalom between people, to the vision of the Navi Yeshayahu when he spoke about, when he dreamt about, when he saw a little bit of the end of time, and he said, V'garza evim kevis, that the wolf is somehow going to be able to dwell together with the lamb. So the madregas, different levels. Now here's where the hesitation comes in, because in order to understand the different dargas of shalom, that there are basically four levels of shalom, which correspond, of course, to the four letters of Hashem's name, which I'm not going to discuss how. But more importantly, in order to have any understanding of this, it's necessary to bring up a subject in Pnimius HaTorah, but I'm only discussing it Lefi Inyaneinu. So I don't want anybody walking out thinking that he or she has become a Kabbalist. This is not a center for mystical studies. It's just words that many of you have seen that have no meaning. So to try to just understand on the most basic, on the simplest level, so that we should be able to learn tonight the four levels of Shalom. And hopefully to strive for the highest Madrega of Shalom, to yearn for the highest Madrega of Shalom, and to realize how far that is from what governments of the world and the United Nations and Maladabra, what they're talking about is Bechlal, not even on the lowest Madrega. But to understand what it is that we're davening for, when we say, what is it that we mean? These are the words of the Ramchal in the Sefer HaKlola. Arba Elamas Hain. In reality, there are four worlds. There are four dimensions of reality. What we see is the lowest level of reality, but there are really four levels. V'nikroim Atzilus, the highest level of reality that human beings can speak of. That highest level is called Atzilus, which in English they usually translate as emanation. The highest level is from the word Eitza, which means closest to Hashem. Atzilus, Bria, creation, Yitzira, formation, and the one we're in right now, that we're connected to, that we're trying to figure out, which is called, of course, Asiya, the world of action. Again, Atzilus, Bria, Yitzira, and Asiya. Vehem Olam HaElokus. The Ramchal says that highest world that we can speak of, which is called Atzilus, is that world where there's only godliness, where there's only the Ribbono Shel Olam. Then Bria, that dimension that's called creation, is the Olam HaKisei. So when we see in Chazal, the throne of Hashem's glory, that's always a sign of Bria, and whatever that means. Then is Yitzira, which is Olam HaMalachim. I'm just reading the Ramchal. Yitzira, which is the place, which is that dimension of existence, with the Malachim, with the angels exist. Olam HaTachtai. And this lowest physical world, which is called Asiya. These are the words of the Ramchal. There is a world beyond these four. When I say world, I'm not talking about like planets or stuff. There is a reality. It exists right now. There is a spiritual reality that transcends those four worlds, that's above those worlds. You might have seen these words in some sefer, and if you have, then it's best to look in different sefer. But it's called Adam Kadmai, which is translated as primordial man, which is the beginning, which is even before the beginning. This dimension of reality is also called Ein Sof, the infinite. That when we don't talk about, we're not allowed to talk about, because that reality that's called Adam Kadmain is even higher than all the terms that we're able to use, like Hashem's name, or to discuss the spheres of how Hashem created the world and how He guides the world and directs the world. That reality that's called Adam Kadmai or Ein Sof, without end, without beginning, that is perfect unity. That's something that has never been revealed in this world. That's also called Ratzon HaPashut in the writings of the Ramchal and other Mekubalim Tzaddikim. It's called simple will. Ratzon HaPashut. And Ratzon HaPashut means that's not a dimension where there's any inyan of good and evil, of free choice, of reward and punishment, of man having to fix something, of there being any imperfections. This is totally out of that whole discussion of repair and things that are broken that need to be fixed and so on. The world that we're allowed to talk about, or reality that we are allowed to refer to, and all the Svarim talk about, begins with Atzilus. And Atzilus is the Shorish, is the root. Again, this is just a very, very superficial, basic introduction to concepts that are beyond the things that we should be talking about. Atzilus, that reality that's called Atzilus, is the Shorish of the Metzius, is the Shorish of reality as we know it. It's also referred to as Machsheves Habriya, the thought of creation. Now here, thought is different than will. That higher level, that's called Adam Kadmain, that's will. Will is without borders. Some wanting, desire, will is something which can't be explained. In that, and we don't talk about that, but in that realm that's called, in the realm that's called Atzilus, which means Machshava, Elam HaMachshava, that Kivyachal is the realm in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu's reality becomes relevant to us. That is where Hashem has revealed a name, Yudkei Vavkei, that he's known by. It is still not a world that is created. It's before we can speak of anything that's created. Nevertheless, even though it's complete elokus, even though it's complete godliness, it's the machshav, it's the initial thought, kivyachal, of creation. And therefore, when you read about Chachma Bina Das, Chabad, and Chagas, and so on, it's all in that realm of existence that's called, it begins in that place that's called Atzilus. And that thought that Hashem has is mislabesh, becomes enclosed in all of the lower levels of existence. It's not like a carpenter who thinks of making a table, and then when he finishes the table, then the carpenter becomes separated from it. God forbid. That's not how it is with Hashem. Hashem thought of creation. He thinks of creation. And that thought that comes from that place that's called that Atzilus, that highest level of creation, it descends and it penetrates, and it's mislabesh, it's enclosed in all lower levels, even to this lowest level of existence that's known as the Olam HaAsiya, as the world of creation. Of action. Now, where do things begin to become complicated? In the world of Bria. Bria means the beginning of creation. Bria, Yetzir, and Asiya, at that point, Hashem begins to conceal his light. And the concealment of light, like you know, that the word for world is olam. Olam is from the word he'elein. Chazal tell us that. And he'elein means, of course, concealment. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to create a world where there would be human beings who would have free choice. And you all know this, that in order for human beings to have free choice, he would have to conceal his infinite light. If Hashem's light were to be revealed, we wouldn't have choice. Life would be meaningless. There would be no reward or punishment. There would be no tikkun. There would be nothing that needed repair. That would need repair. So at that point of creation, Bria, and then Yetzir and Asiya, becomes more, Hashem's light becomes more and more concealed. How could this be understood? In a simple way. A Rebbe who's teaching his Talmidim. This is what we find in all the Svarim, the Moshel, of a Rebbe teaching his students. The Talmud, the student that is particularly bright, he's able to understand what the Rebbe is saying and how in the words that the Rebbe is using. Even though the Rebbe is speaking about something abstract, the student who's very connected to the Rebbe and who's very bright will understand the abstract construct that the Rebbe makes. For the students who are not as connected, or perhaps not as insightful, the Rebbe, a good Rebbe, has to use mishal, a marshal. What is a marshal? There was a prince, and the prince had to leave the king, and the king missed the prince, right? That's how they start. And they're waiting for the prince and the king to get together. So the Rebbe has to use a marshal. What is a marshal? A marshal is always a means of covering. It's a means of concealing, but it's for the purpose of revealing. Right? A marshal is covering the actual thought of the Rebbe. The Rebbe is trying to talk about something very, very amazing and very godly and deep and profound and so on, but this Talmud doesn't understand it. Or it could be even something, it could be even something that's of this world, but the student can't understand the mahus, the essence of what the Rebbe is trying to convey. Therefore, what does the Rebbe do? The Rebbe will conceal the essence in order that the student should be able to receive the basic concept. How? The Rebbe enclothes. He dresses up and conceals and covers the essence with something that does not blow away, frighten, or destroy the student. So even though when you and I are reading a marshal and it's about there's a king and the king had to, and the king told the prince that he has to leave. So we're not talking about God. No one's even saying anything about Hashem. We're just talking about a king and a prince. We're not talking about the thing itself. So ki'ilu, it would seem that a separation has taken place between the subject matter and what the Rebbe was really thinking about. Right? There seems to be a separation. As opposed to the student who's on a higher level, for whom the Rebbe's thought does not have to be covered in stories and allegory, but the student can receive the Rebbe's light directly. But the student who's not prepared for that, he receives the Rebbe's light, the Rebbe's thoughts, enclosed and hidden. So it sounds like something that has nothing to do with what the Rebbe's talking about. Kings and princes, what are we we're talking about? Fairy tales? It sounds like a fairy tale. It's not talking about Hashem. So this is how Hashem created the world. And we have these four levels of existence that I spoke about before. Therefore, that highest level of existence where Hashem's light begins to penetrate into reality, after Atzilus, is called Bria, creation. That's when Hashem created the world, Yesh Me'ayin, something from nothing. Then the next level of creation, as the light becomes more concealed, is called Yitzira, the world of formation. Now, this is not, in Bria, there was creation from nothing. In Yitzira, so we already have separation and distinction. Things begin to become distinguished one from the other. Until finally, Hashem's light is so hidden till you get to the Olam HaAsiya, and that's where you have Fifth Avenue and the E-Train and all that stuff. That's this world, Olam HaAsiya, where Hashem's light is so, so hidden, even though everything is Mamish Hashem. Just like when the Rebbe's talking. Everything is, in that story about the prince and the king, everything is about Hashem. Everything is connected to the Rebbe's thought. But in order that the child should understand, the Rebbe has to dress it up and conceal and put coverings over the light. Coverings and coverings and coverings till the kid's able to understand. Oh, yeah, I know, that's a terrible thing, but a separation between the king and the prince, that's terrible. And the child feels a little bit of the pain of the exile of the divine presence, which is what the Rebbe's talking about. But the kid goes home, and the kid just tells a story, some fairy tale. When he's able to understand more and more of the Nimshal, as everything in the world is a Mashal, every single thing that you and I are living through is a Mashal, including the E-Train, or whatever it is that arrives over here in this neighborhood. Everything is a Mashal. Everything. The chair, the light, the person next to you. The greater the person, the greater the understanding of the Nimshal. Meaning, what does that person next to me mean? What does the chair mean? What does the light, what does the wall, what does it all mean? But we're surrounded by Mishalom. The whole world is a Mashal. This whole world is just Hashem's light, covered and covered and covered, and descending through worlds. Those are the four basic levels, but there are, of course, infinite levels in between. Now, if all of that escaped you, it's still okay. But I wanted to give that Hakdama because it's important to know where this is coming from. Let's talk about Shalom now, about peace, the four levels of peace. This discussion is found in the Chabad Sfar, in different Lehushim, under different coverings. There is, now we're going to go from the easiest level, from the lowest level. Remember, that's called Olam HaAsiya, the world of action, physical life. There is the most basic level of shalom, which the world calls shalom, and it is, on some level, it is peace. There is the most basic level of shalom that means practical, pragmatic, lemaisa, peace. And nobody in his right mind, and it's amazing how many millions of people there are that are in the wrong mind, but nobody in his right mind would imagine that there's any deep spiritual significance to the fact that people who hate each other are for the time being not killing each other. This peace in the Olam HaAsiyah means exactly that. We've decided to sign a treaty, and we've decided to enter into a covenant, some sort of a truce, in order that we should be able to continue living and to prosper. This is basically what the world understands as peace. What is peaceful coexistence? Peaceful coexistence only means a way for me to continue earning a living and having my house without the disruptions that come when world leaders are vying with each other for position, or when my next door neighbor is involved in some milchama with me. So this level of peace that exists in the Olam HaAsiyah, on the most basic, lowest physical level, that has no spiritual content at all, this shalom, this peace, is the one that the Torah describes was the one that existed between Lavan and Yaakov. So I want to bring this into a clearer picture by giving examples from Tanakh. Lavan and Yaakov, imani lo ye'ever lecha es hagal hazeh. So you remember after the whole Ma'isu when Yaakov escaped with the family, so Lavan and Yaakov enter into a peace treaty. Va'ata lecha nichrus bris ani va'ata v'hayileid beini uveinecha. So there is a mound of stones and a monument that's made, and this is going to be a siman of the bris, of the covenant, of the peace treaty. So in the conversation with Lavan and Yaakov, imani lo ye'ever lecha es hagal hazeh. As long as I don't pass by this mound, this pile of stones, and if you don't pass, this is the border, and if you don't pass this pile of stones and this monument, this matseva, lara, for evil. In other words, some of you might have had an experience where you were sharing a room when you were younger with a sibling, and you would draw either an imaginary or an actual line down the room to create clear, peaceful borders. You mind your business and I mind my business. This is, in the world, this is called shalom. And Lavan and Yaakov Avinu entered into such a treaty. We are known as to pass over the border, lara, for evil. Rashi says, lara yata'ivra, avalata'ivra lepragmatia. This is very practical. The word pragmatia even has the word pragmatism and practical in it. And it means business. Right? Pragmatia. So the understanding here is that peace, a peace treaty is drawn up between Lavan and Yaakov, and the purpose here is to create a pragmatic, practical, pragmatidike shalom that will allow these two worlds to financially and physically prosper. Zehu. That's all there is. It's not like, you know, we love each other, and we understand each other, and we share so much in common. No, we have nothing in common. I can't stand you. You can't stand me. There are light years that separate between us, but it's not going to work like this. So we'll divide the world. And this is the border. But look, pragmatia, so we'll have business, we'll conduct business. This is the dream of the politicians. The dream of where business will be conducted between Israel and other nations in that area, and they'll be able to have healthy commerce and coexistence and so on. All this shalom does, which is just a tiny piece of what shalom, it is called shalom. It's a tiny little faint dim flicker of a light of what shalom really is. And that's all the world talks about as Shalom. And this little light of Shalom is not bechlal, the Jewish concept of what Shalom is. That doesn't mean we wouldn't like that to begin with, but it's not at all, it hasn't entered yet at all into the realm of the Torah's definition of the kind of Shalom where the Shechina, where the Divine Presence is able to rest and make a home and be comfortable. This is a Shalom that is for the purpose of preventing human beings from deteriorating into animals, who strike out at each other, who kill each other, and steal from each other. Therefore, this level of Shalom, this level of peace, the Bechlal does not transcend anything human. It's grounded in the Olam HaAsiyah, in the physical world. I told you that even the lowest physical world has contained within it godliness. Therefore, even in this, there is something godly. It's the beginning. It's a tiny little piece of Shalom. Politicians can really not think of any Shalom that goes beyond this. And this Shalom that is completely involved in the ego, in what I want and what you want, in order that you should get what you want and I should get what I want, we're going to have to make this invisible line or visible line. This Shalom Kolapachis, if we would try to strengthen ourselves to be more observant and better Jews in the Olam HaAsiyah, so it would strengthen this level of peace in the Olam HaAsiyah, that we should at least not have to suffer, God forbid, from our enemies crossing over the border. An effort is now being made to build an actual fence, as you've heard and you've read, between us and our enemies. So it's not an invisible line, it's an actual visible line. Mikol HaPachas, this is the beginning of Shalom. It's Shalom in the Olam HaAsiyah, in the world of action. But it's very, very, very infinitely removed from the she'ifas and the longings of the Jewish people, from what the Nevi'im were talking about. This is not it. This is not it. So let's talk about the next level of Shalom. Shalom that exists in the Olam HaYitzir, in the world of formation. Now, this is already a spiritual realm. Classically, it's the place where the Malachim are hanging out. But it means already a point of spirituality. There's something emotional here. It's not just practical, pragmatic borders to separate between people and to draw some sort of a treaty up so that we don't kill each other and that we could each have business dealings with each other. Here, there's already something that's on a higher level. Where do we find this in Tanakh? So the tzaddikim say, regarding Shlomo HaMelech, and you know that during his reign there was peace. During the time of Shlomo HaMelech, it's Melech Shahasholom Shaloi. This is already a higher level of peace. Hinei ben Neilelecha. Behold, the child is going to be born to you, to David HaMelech. Hu Yeish Menucha. He will be a man of rest, of peace, of quiet. Vani Chaisila Mikol Oivav Misaviv. And therefore Hashem says he will be at rest from all the enemies that surround him. Ki Shlomo Yeshemo. His name will be Shlomo. V'sholom v'sheket eiten al Yisrael b'yomot. And Hashem's Baruch promises that there will be peace and quiet for the Jewish people during the days of this man whose name is Shlomo, Shalom. Hu yivne bayis l'shmi v'hu yeli l'bein. He will build a house for my sake and he will be my child. So what is the meaning of this Shalom? This is already a much higher level of Shalom. It's a world, literally a world of difference. Mamash, a world of difference between Asiyah and Yetzirah. In the realm of Yetzirah, what is the meaning of this peace that was achieved during the days of Shlomo HaMelech? The meaning of this type of peace is when you have sides that are quarreling, that are at odds with each other, that are constantly in a state of warfare, and then suddenly somebody comes along who both of the quarreling sides acknowledge as being infinitely greater than them, and stand back in awe and retreat from this fight, from this quarrel, in recognition of the greatness of the Melech, of the king. Neither side no longer has the will, the desire, neither side has the nerve to be misnaseh, to rise up above the other. Because both sides are buckle, are totally nullified in the presence of that great Malchus, of the king. This, in Olam HaYetzirah, which is already a spiritual level of Shalom, this means that all of the machlokes and all of the disputes and disagreements are pushed aside in light of the greater reality that is overwhelming. In the Olam HaYetzirah, where we already have midas, we have personality, we have emotions, we have feelings, we have awareness. You see, that what we were talking about before in the Olam HaAsiyah, in the world of action, there's bechlal, it has nothing to do with anything emotional. I feel nothing. Yaakov feels nothing for Lavan. And Lavan feels nothing for Yaakov. In the world of Asiyah, it's very simple. You have what I want what you have. If we stop killing each other, maybe we could share things. That's all. But in the Olam HaYetzirah, where there's already pnimius, this is already a world of spirituality. It's the beginning of the definition of the unraveling of physical life into something which is more sublime. In this world of Yetzirah, it's no longer just me. It's no longer just the ego. It's no longer I. In this world is also ata, you. In other words, I care about the other. There is the beginning of caring. In Olam HaAsiyah, it has nothing with caring. In the Olam HaYetzirah, there's already the presence of the other in your mind, in your heart. Now, it must be clear that this is not the highest level of peace either. Because the issue of machloikis and of disagreement hasn't been completely solved. Because even though both sides are maida, both sides agree that there is something greater and that we have to behave ourselves and we're in awe of that which is greater, lemaisa, each side still sees itself as the center of the universe. It's just they're prepared to step back. Shlomo HaMelech established the Malchus in Yerushalayim. And Yerushalayim has the word Shalom in it. And has the word Yira in it. Yore Shalom, Yira, awe and fear. It means it's a Shalom that is forged out of the awe and fear that the two sides have for the Malchus that is revealed in Yerushalayim. So even though you and I might sometimes be mischievous when we're in Brooklyn or in Nassau County or wherever else in this world God put you. So we might be a little bit mischievous, but every one of us, when you come to the Beis HaMikdash, we'd be very, very good. Why? Because even though there are all kinds of funny milchamas going inside of me and you, internal milchamas. And even though there are other kinds of crazy milchamas that are going on between one Jew and another, but when you come to Yerushalayim the way it's supposed to be, Yerushalayim that has not the words Yira, fear, and Shalem or Shlemus, Shalom and peace, in that place both sides concede. Inside of you, your Yetzer Hara and your Yetzer Tov concede, he's bigger than the both of us. This one's bigger than all of us. And in Yerushalayim, in that state of awe and fear, the Milchama stops. The war ends. The war between those two parts of who you are, and the quarrels and disagreements between Jews, that's why everybody knows that nobody said that there's not enough room in Yerushalayim. Everybody has room in Yerushalayim because Jews are at peace in Yerushalayim. Ki yish chub lo yachtav, where all Jews are reunited and brought together. That doesn't mean that all Jews, because they're in Yerushalayim, understand and love each other. It means that all Jews in Yerushalayim concede to the greatness of the God who dwells in that building. And therefore, for the moment, we're prepared to let go of our stupid, silly little quarrels and disagreements and the problems that I have inside of myself. Should I get up for Shacharis? Shouldn't I get up for Shacharis? When you're in front of the Beis HaMikdash, you get up for Shacharis. That's how it goes. It's like Ne'ilah. What, if somebody has to have a struggle, I don't know, maybe, it's Ne'ilah be next year also, or maybe I shouldn't go this year. People don't have these milchamas because when you're in that place, Ne'ilah is the Beis HaMikdash. Ne'ilah is the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Therefore, when you're holding by Ne'ilah, you don't have all these, you don't have all these sveikas. You don't have any milchamas when it comes to Ne'ilah. And Jews are able to see good in each other when they're standing by Ne'ilah also. They're able to see good in each other. Even though you don't normally like this Baal Tefillah, and there's some people that every time a Baal Tefillah you don't like, he opens up his mouth, you hear people go, oh. But when it comes to Ne'ilah, you don't see these things. And if somebody would come over to you and say, listen, I heard that Yankel said this about you, you think he's crazy. It's Ne'ilah. What are you talking about? It's not because you and Yankel have resolved the issues between you. You usually find that out Matzah Yontif. It's not that you resolve the issues. There are still problems. But the problems have been postponed, delayed, pushed aside, because Ne'ilah is a big thing. It's the Baruch Shalom, it's the Beis HaMikdash, it's the Kodesh Kadoshim, it's Yerushalayim. So for the moment, the Machlokes are held at bay. It hasn't really resolved the deeper issues. But still there is a recognition, there is an emotional investment. This already is, since it's already in the spiritual domain, it is already a shalom that is Jewish. The Ummah Sa'ilam don't understand this shalom either. This is a she'ifa that the Jewish people have, as is discussed at length in the Chabad Sfar. This is a longing that Jewish people have, like the candle, like the flame on the candle, to leave the candle, which is suicidal. It's crazy. Because you know that if the flame would leave the wick, it would be extinguished in this world. It would return to its source in existence. There is this suicidal nature that the Jewish people have. When I say suicidal, I don't mean anything bad. I mean to depart, this longing to be detached from Asiya and to stand in front of the Pele Elyon, the great wonder that's Hashem. Therefore, at this point, there is letting go of the ego. I'm letting go of the ego and I'm conceding that there's somebody who's greater than me. There's something much greater, there's something much bigger than me. Now, it might not be Yankel. That's the problem over here. But there's something much bigger than my ego. But still, each one sees himself at the center of the universe. On this level, at this level of Shalom, is a higher level than Asiya. This no longer means Arab is not killing Jews. This no longer means, this is beyond the level of Arabs not trespassing the borders that have been established in Olam Asiya. This is the time that will come when the Bnei Yishmael and the entire world recognizes that the Jewish people are godly and will stand back in awe and wouldn't dare lift a finger to hurt a Jew. That's a madrega of Shalom Le'olam HaYetzira. When the world says that these people, Yisrael, they're Bechina, they're living in that world of Ne'ilah. They're Hashem's children. They're the Beis HaMikdash. It's a whole nation of Shlomo HaMelech. And therefore, when our enemies will step back in awe, in Yira, and concede that Knesset Yisrael is bigger and greater, and is worthy of their respect. Doesn't mean that they love us. But that's already a madrega of shalom, of peace, in the Olam HaYetzir. So can it get any better than that? Sure it can. This is still not what the Nevi'im are talking about. But it's getting better. Shalom in the world, it's called Bria. Shalom in the Olam HaBria, remember, this is already... This is already the point of creation of the first two letters of Hashem's name, of Yud and Hey. Until now we were talking about Vav Hey. This Shalom certainly has never been. The one that we were talking about in Yetzirah, according to the Sfarim, that existed in the Malchus of Shlomo HaMelech. That was the high point of peace in the history of the world, was the Malchus of Shlomo HaMelech, with the Beis HaMikdash and so on. But this level of shalom that we're talking about now, which is called shalom in the Olam HaBriya, this level of shalom has never yet been. Has never yet been. What does this mean? What is shalom in the Olam HaBriya? So we learned that in the world of Asiya, let's go back to the most basic level, nothing has changed at all. There's nothing emotional at all. It's bechlal not. The ego is completely intact. Adarabba, the ego is shining very powerfully and says, I want what he has. That's an Asiya. That's just making a border and building fences and walls. Good fences make good neighbors, right? That's Olam HaAsiya. Then Olam HaYetzira, that we just spoke about. So the quarrels and the wars are pushed aside, are delayed, postponed, right? But there hasn't been any real internal turning over of the soul. There's been a concession that's made. And an awareness that there's something greater and bigger, and there's awe and there's fear. This already in the Olam HaBriya changes. In that realm of existence that's called Olam HaBriya, this changes. Because Olam HaBriya is that place of Moichin, of thought. Of thought. Moichin and Seichel. Moichin and Seichel means, on a very, very simple level, where the two sides who are involved in this dispute, in this quarrel, work the inyan out. They work it out. And they reach a level of understanding that this is crazy. This is crazy. He's really not my enemy. He's not as bad as I thought. Here there's already a level of existence which is called Mayach Shalat Alalev. Mayach Shalat Alalev means that even though emotionally I feel distant, I feel there's a problem, but I strengthen my mind, my seichel. And we have to do this every time that we're tempted by something that's crazy. I strengthen my Mayach, and the Mayach, that power to think, is the Olam HaBriya. I strengthen my mayach, and my mayach come. My mind is raised to a level of awareness, where shalom sets in. This is what the Rambam. This is how the Rambam explains when it says in the Navi, the Gar Zevim Kevis. When the Navi says in Yeshaya, when the Navi Yeshaya says that the wolf will be able to dwell, will be able to lie down together with the lamb. So the Rambam explains in Hilchas Melachim. The Rambam lived in the Olam HaBriya, in the world of thought. He was barely in this physical world. So the Rambam said that this nevuah, this prophecy, that the wolf and the lamb will be together, he says this is marshal v'chida, it does not mean physically. Many, of course, would disagree. But the Rambam says this is a marshal v'chida. It's a marshal, like we were talking about before. It's not actually that the animals are going to be able to live with each other. The nature's not going to change. It's a marshal v'chida. And what's the marshal? Inyan, the nimshal, inyan hadover, sheyiyu Yisrael yoishim lebetach im rishay akum hamashulim kizei v'nomer. The nimshal is that the Jewish people who are Hashem's gentle and sweet Kevas, the lamb, will be able to dwell peacefully, the Rambam says, will be able to live peacefully with those who are the Rishoyim, the wicked of the nations, who are compared to a wolf and so on. V'yachzeru kulam ladasa emes. And that all the nations of the world will understand and recognize the truth of the Torah. And they will understand that stealing and destroying is unacceptable, is wrong. Not because it hurts me and it hurts him. Because be'etzim, it doesn't make sense. Be'etzim, it's wrong. So the Rambam, as you all know, holds that when Mashiach comes, nature will not be transformed, at least initially. There is a question about, in the Rambam, perhaps a second stage. But it's clear that the initial stage of redemption of Yemaisa Mashiach of the Messianic days, according to the Rambam, there will be no miraculous change in nature. It's not like, poof, everybody's going to be good. What the Rambam is telling us is that la'osu lavo v'yasigu das bayram kvikoyach ha'odam, that the light of Hashem will will penetrate into existence. In other words, some of the veils and curvas will be removed. And in that awareness of Bria, of creation, the nations of the world, together with Yisrael, V'yasigu das borim, will come to understand godliness. Kefi kayach adam, in accordance to the level of what a human being can reach. That means that in the days of Mashiach, all the nations of the world will call out in the name of Hashem. I mean, Amalek can't do that. Amalek will be able to destroy. But all the nations will call out in the name of Hashem. Ulav de Shechem Echad, and will serve Hashem. That means, it's no longer that I'm afraid of Shlomo HaMelech. It's not that I'm afraid that God's going to strike me down because I'm standing in front of the Beis HaMikdash or it's Ne'ilah. That was not in my Yetzirah, right? That was the peace in that lower level of Olamos of Worlds. Now, it's no longer a question of being afraid and conceding. This shalom that exists, that will exist in the world of Bria, this means that I am not being forced, I am not frightened, I'm not being intimidated by that great Malchus that's out there. Here there's an internalized understanding within myself. There's a control. The mind is in control of the heart. My mind understands the truth. And the truth is Hashem and Yisrael. So you would think that there couldn't be any higher level than this. But there is a higher level. There's the shalom that exists in Atzilus. Because in this realm of shalom that exists on the level of Bria, there still is some level of quarrel and dispute. What is that? The mind is ruling over the heart. That means that there still is an effort that must be made for my intellect, as the Rambam tells us, to direct my life instead of my emotions. So even though there's no longer a need for any external pressure, so you don't have to have a palace and the king and all that stuff to keep me apart from fighting with somebody else, or to prevent me from fighting within myself. But still, there must be an effort of what? Of moyach sholot al halev, that the mind has to rule over the heart. So my logic and my intellect is able to rule over that darker side of creation. But when we get to the next level, to the highest level that we're allowed to speak about the Shalom, and this is what the Nevi'im are dreaming about, this is what they saw. Shalom that exists in that level that's called Atzilus. This is Oyim V'Naira. This is absolutely awesome. And it's discussed in the Sfar Makadoshim. What is it that's unique about this shalom? How could it be better than what we were talking about? So the Tzaddikim explain that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and only HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is Noisei HaFachim. That means that within Hashem, opposites merge. There is no contradiction. You and I can't conceive of that. It can't be at the same time. Two opposites cannot coexist within us. We can't think of that. It doesn't mean anything to us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Noisei HaFachim. Hashem, within Hashem, all opposites are one. So, as far as human beings are concerned, what does this mean? What is this shalom that could exist, that will exist? And the Olam HaAtzilus. When it says V'gar Ze'evim Keves, that the wolf and the lamb will be able to be together, it means that a wolf will be able to remain a wolf, and a lamb will be able to remain a lamb, and still they'll be perfectly unified. That's beyond their understanding. it means that there's no concession at all. It means that there's no giving up of the self at all. It means that there's no longer an other who's threatening my presence. You see, the Gar Zeev and Keves, that the reason that there's war, why is there ever any war on any level? It's because the other is some sort of a threat to me. When that highest level of Shalom will be revealed, which is Shalom Na'ilam Hayatzilus, it will mean that every single human being will be exactly who he could be. He's not going to have to do anything artificial or make any concessions. You see, in order to have peace in this world before Atzilus, we have to do something that's artificial. Artificial means that I either have to make a fence, or I have to step back in front of the king and say, okay, or on the level that we just learned, in Bria, I have to control my emotions from getting the better of me. However, in the Olam HaAtzilus, in that realm that's called Olam HaAtzilus, it means that I can be myself and you could be yourself, and it's not a threat bechlal, because opposites are no longer opposing each other. Opposites will no longer oppose each other. In this world, there's so many problems inside a family when the parents want one thing and the kid wants to be himself. It's a very dangerous thing if a kid wants to be himself, unless being himself is the same as the parents. But if being yourself is different from what the parents think you should be, so then oftentimes there's estrangement. There are mulchamis inside the home. There are problems between husbands and wives. Even though they can establish some sort of peace, on whatever level it is. It could be that you have a family where the husband and wife live together in peace in the Olam HaAsiyah, which means that they might not have a line across the house, but emotionally there's really not much invested in the relationship. It's just a practical relationship. You have many relationships, it's just practical. They don't love each other. They don't see eye to eye. They really are at odds with each other. But, you know, the kids, and upset the kids, and we don't rock the boat, and the finances are so mixed together, and we're getting old anyway, so what's the tachlis, right? So that's a very sad thing when you have shalom bias that exists only in Asiya. And there are many families, unfortunately, there are many marriages that are like that, that there's, and you would see them on the street, you know, so you would see that they're at peace with each other. But, you know, you're not going to catch them like when no one's looking, you know, holding hands in the sunset. You're not going to find that either. But there is peace. Well, there is peace. When there's a higher madrega, when it's in the Olam HaYetzira, in the Olam HaBriya, then there are higher levels of emotional connection and intellectual awareness of the madregas and the milas of the other person. But still, I am I and you, still the two are at odds with each other. Because sof kol sof, no matter how wonderful a marriage is, that's a man and that's a woman. And because of that, on the most basic level, a man and woman are opposites. This is chesed, this is din. And they're opposites. And therefore, anybody that tells you that in his marriage there have never been any issues at all, and you have to check what he's putting in his cereal in the morning. It's not shaykh. That there are no issues at all, and they don't have to work anything out, and everything is just, you know, great and wonderful, and it's not shaykh. But shalom in the world of Atzilus is the shalom that the Torah is talking about, and the Nevi'im are talking about. Shalom means that he can still be him, and I don't feel threatened by him. We don't know what that means. Because all of us are instinctively threatened by anybody that's not like me, because what they're saying is that they have a different way. And then that means something's wrong with my way. So we have difficulties in this world. But in that level of shalom, in the world of Atzilus, in that level of, then we have Agar Zev and Kevis. So that's the shalom. That's the shalom that we can understand. That's the shalom that the Nevi'im are talking about. But listen, That too is not the end of the journey, because there is something that exists beyond. And what's that? So in that same pasuk, in the Navi, in that pasuk, right where it says, V'gar zevim kevis, it says, V'shiyasha yoynek al chur pasen, v'amu'uras tifoini gomul yodoy hodo. Which means that the prophecy is that in the days of Mashiach, an infant will play by a viper's hole, by the cave. A child will be able to play by the opening of the cave with his poisonous snake. And a newly weaned child will be able to stretch his hand also into a place where there's some poisonous snake. What is this picture of the end of time? Of an adorable little baby playing with a snake. What is that picture? What does that mean? See, little Babich Rebbe said an unbelievable thing. The baby is the one who was born after all the wars, who never experienced war, who hasn't read anything about it, who doesn't know that there's been suffering and misery in the past. You see, on all the levels that we spoke about, even that highest level that's called the Olam HaAtzilus, that we were talking about where peace is made, all the adults have to struggle with the memories of the past. It means remembering what used to be. No matter how peaceful the life of a Holocaust survivor is now, it can be the most wonderful, wonderful life. You and I can never imagine what they remember, what they think about. We don't understand what that is, Bechlal. And they can't stop themselves from taking trips back into that Melchama. But when the Navi describes a little baby playing with a snake, so the Tzaddik explained that means that there no longer will be a struggle with memories of the past. Hayinu kechalma, we don't even know what that means. That's al kadmai. That's the beginning. That's before there was a world, before there was tsaros, before there were milchamas. That you and I, as adults, are going to be those little children that won't remember at all the misery and the suffering. It will be nothing to us. It will be like newborn babies. It's beyond all of the madrigas that we're talking about. It's something that we can't even imagine going back to the beginning. In that world of Adam Kadmon, we can't bechlal understand, we can't conceive of that, what that means. So I told you it was going to be difficult, and I apologize if I've made you miserable tonight with this. I just had it on my mind, and I wanted to share it with you. Perhaps I shouldn't have. But I want to end with a tefillah. I want to end with a tefillah. It's a tefillah from Nosson Breslov. I'm just going to read it. It takes a minute, and I'll translate it. So if you're not able to leave with anything, at least with a tefillah. Odin HaShalom, Master of Peace. Melech Shehasholom Shaloi, King, to whom peace belongs. It's the highest level of peace. Oyseh Shalom Ubarayes HaKol, Azreinu V'Hishyenu Hashem, help us and save us. Shenizke tamid lechas b'midas ha-shalom. That in our lives we should always be able to hold on to this midah of shalom. V'ya shalom gadol be'emes. And there should be true peace. Ben kol adam lechaveiro. Between one Jew and another. Ben ish v'ishta. Between a husband and wife. V'lo yeshum achloikes afilu b'leiv. That they should be able to hold hands. That there shouldn't be a machloikes even in the heart. I feel about life, meaning beyond Asiya. Asiya means that they're not fighting. But the lo yeshu machloikis, I feel about life. Even in the heart, there shouldn't be any machloikis. Ben kol b'nei Adam. Ki ata ois ha-shalom b'rimaymecha. Because Hashem, you create peace in your higher world. V'ata mechaber shnei hafochim yachad. And Hashem, only you have the ability to bring two opposites and join them together. Eish u'mayim, fire and water. U'b'niflo secha ha'atzumim. And in your magnificent, wondrous ways. At'oise sholem b'neim, you're able to make peace between opposites, fire and water. Cain, so we ask you, Hashem. Tamshich Sholom Godlo Aleinu, draw Hashem, let us experience some of that peace. Draw this upon us. Balkol Ha'olam Kuloi. Ba'ifen Shi'ischarbu Kol Ha'afachim Yachad. So that all opposites will be able to be joined. V'sholom God will be ahav v'gedolah with great peace and great love. V'yuchlolu kulam v'deya achatz. So that all will be joined together with one thought. V'leiv echad in one heart. Deya echad is bria, leiv echad is yitzira. L'skar v'elecha, to draw near to you. L'sayroscha v'emes and yitara in truth. V'yayosu kulam aguda achatz. Lasis v'tzoncha v'leiv v'sholim. Lasis v'tzoncha is, of course, nasiya. Hashem Shalom, Bachenu B'Shalom, bless us with Shalom. By the Zeh, Tamshich Aleinu Kol HaBrachas V'Kol HaShpois V'Kol HaYeshuas. And if there's Shalom, then it means that we have the ability to experience all HaShpois, all good things, and all Yeshuas, all salvations. Ois the Shalom B'Maim of Yens, Hashem is Baruch who makes peace in the higher world. Hu Yaseh Shalom Aleinu, may that peace in the highest level of existence. Hu Yaseh Shalom Aleinu, Balkol Yisrael Amen. May that Shalom be made, may it be drawn into our lives. That tefillah, right now we can't see, we can't imagine how could that possibly be in Eretz Yisrael. We're not even holding the Olam HaAsiyah in Eretz Yisrael with the Shalom. Not even the Olam HaAsiyah, there's b'chlal nothing to talk about. And the Olam HaAsiyah, they're talking about the Olam HaAsiyah, but it's not even there. But certainly in our homes, and our lives, our friends and so on, husbands and wives and friends and brothers and sisters. If we want to be mamshich the shalom into the world, into Eretz Yisrael, you have to believe, and we've been talking about this for the last 2 months, that every single thing that you and I are doing during this time, everything that those few of us in the world who are still shema tere mitzvahs, what we're doing here in these days is mashpia, is going to affect what's taking place in all the olamas. Therefore, for people like us to talk about what's going to be with the peace in Eretz Yisrael, maybe it's more kedai. We all worry about that. We daven for it. But what about the person that you haven't spoken to for like the last couple of weeks? What about the person that you're living with that you haven't really held hands with for a long time, and that you're not living with in that madrega of Yetzira and Bria and Atzilus? Certainly, this is what we could do. I've been speaking about this since the beginning, that to try to remove the barriers and walls that are between one Jew and another. And to the extent that we do that, so that tefillah will be mekuyim, Hashem yivarech es am Yisrael b'shalom, yizbizayichim es Hashem, tetzi da gula Hashem v'amitis, mehebi amenu amen.